Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's head out to the Western Hotline. I've waited long enough to get this guy on. You can find him on Twitter at CMDDominicis, and he's also a contributor for both Die by the Blade and Expected Buffalo. Joining me right now is Chad DDominicis here on WGR. Chad, I know we've talked recently, but thanks again for taking the time on this Thursday, and hope you and your family are doing well.
Yeah, we're doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So obviously, Chad, before we dive into your article at Die by the Blade with your 2.0 version of your offseason projections, I want to just get your thoughts on the outcome, obviously, for the Sabres in the draft lottery. They'll be picking eighth, but just want to get your overall thoughts on what you think about the whole lottery system and whether you think that, you know, I know that this year's was a little bit of a different circumstance, and obviously the worst-case scenario happened with one of the teams yet to be determined winning the pick, the first overall pick, and Alexi Lafreniere. But just want your thoughts on the future of the draft lottery and whether you think that it's good for the NHL or you think it's just kind of gimmicky and it should just really just go back to the way it used to be, where if you finish dead last, you get the first overall pick.
Yeah, you know, it's I mean, I get behind it. You know, it kind of gets fans interested in it, right? And if you can get eyeballs on something you can put on TV, that's always a good thing, you know, for the ad revenue and stuff like that. So I get one of the reasons why they do it, and you kind of, in a way, it avoids tanking, if you will. I mean, you know, look, look at Detroit. I mean, they won, like, what, 18, 19 games, and they're going to pick fourth. I mean, it happened to Colorado twice, and they had horrible seasons. They fell away to fourth. So it's, I get the premise behind it, but, you know, I think, honestly, I mean, especially this might be an awakening call, kind of what happened here this year. You just go back. If you want to do a lottery, fine, but just make it for the first overall pick. Go back to that and then have it in a situation where the teams outside of the top, like, I don't know, 10 if you want. Like, if you don't win the top 10, then you can't move up anyone in the four spots, kind of the way it used to be the old way, right?
Yeah.
And then they kind of in a way, everybody wins type thing. So, I don't know. We'll see what they do, but you know, I think when they put this together, they probably sat in the room and thought, come on, there's no way that a team in the, you know, whatever turn to play is going to win this thing. And then turns out, worst case scenario, and now it looks pretty bad for them.
So obviously, the Sabres, they'll be picking eighth overall. They move down from 7 to 8. It'll be the fourth time they pick from franchise history with the eighth overall pick. So, Chad, looking at the draft board, obviously this year the top 10, top 11 players are pretty darn stacked. They're good players, players that could be NHL ready within a year or two and maybe even three, depending on, you know, kind of the development path that a player decides to take. But if you're the Sabres with that eighth overall pick, in your article, I know who you take in your article, and you can explain a little bit, but who are you taking? Who's maybe somebody that you're looking at with that eighth pick? And personally, if you're the Sabres, do you look to hold on to that and make that selection, or are you looking to trade it?
Yeah, I think for me, I'm in a spot where I'm at this point, I'm looking to keep it. That doesn't mean I'm not open to a trade for it, but I think it has to be kind of a home run trade, right? You can't get desperate and just make a trade to make a trade because, you know, you really want to send that back, because I think at the end of the day, that's not really going to help you. This is a draft where I think the forwards at the top are the best forward groups in the top 10 that, you know, there may be been in a couple of years. Looking ahead the next season, the forward group doesn't look that great as it does this year. That could change, but that's the reality of where we are right now, right? So, and when you add that all in, and then when you add in two that I wrote about last week, is, you know, getting a player on an entry-level contract, especially when we just found out the cap is going to stay flat for the next 2 years, and then only go up another million and twos after that. So really your cap is pretty much flat for at least the next 3 years. You know, you need that kind of player to come in an entry-level contract and make an impact on your team, but the way the salary cap is going to be, you know, it's going to be tight for them. So all of that goes into it. And then when you also just look at the kind of the factor, there's really maybe one or two players like Anthony Cirelli that realistically could be available, but that's even probably a long shot. There's really not even centers that are kind of worth spending that eighth overall pick on. You could talk me into spending my 2021 first round pick in a lottery projected, a lottery protected situation. I could do that, but as a top 10 pick, just I don't know if that center is really going to be out there for them. So when you add that all up, you know, I'm more in the favor of hanging on to that pick and getting the forward they desperately need, especially out of this class.
Right, and obviously in your article with your off-season projections, you have them holding on, and you're taking Anton Lundell out of Finland, a really good two-way centerman. Just want to get your thoughts on what you've seen from him, and maybe give us your little scouting report here of what you've seen.
Yeah, you know, he's kind of a guy that, as you look at some of the, you know, draft rankings that are coming out, he's sliding a little bit. So it's interesting to me because I think he's kind of the players coming out of Finland, you know, they usually, in most cases, take a little bit longer to kind of develop. And we saw that last year with Kako, you know, going to the Rangers. He had a pretty bad season when a lot of people thought he was going to be really good as a rookie. So you kind of take that into effect. But he's the type of player who I think, first of all, I think he's more one of the NHL-ready players because of the style game that he plays, right? He's an 18-year-old that had a really good season in Liga against other professionals, against men. He was productive for an 18-year-old, pretty impressive. And then his two-way game is impressive, too. You know, he's good at both ends of the ice. He was top 10 in possession in that league as an 18-year-old. I mean, that's impressive to have that type of thing at his age and in the league that he plays in. And, you know, a lot of people say he doesn't have that offensive upside in his game, and I don't see that. And I look at his production, and I look at what he did. I don't know how people get there. I think it's kind of that, you know, that knock on him that he's a, you know, a European two-way player, and that means he's not going to give you that much offense, where I don't know if that's the case. Like, I kind of see maybe, if you want, kind of in the mold of a Ryan O'Reilly or Sean Couturier, you know, I don't think he's going to be a 70 to an, you know, 80-point player, but I think he can be a 60-point player that can also play a two-way game for you. And if you can bring him in, and, you know, for all the people that want an impact right now, I think he's a guy that in a normal season could step in. Now, next year might be different with the way the European leagues are starting, you know, in like October and September when the NHL won't start until January. So that probably won't work and he'll go back to Europe. But, you know, he's a guy that you could bring in right away and expect an impact. And I think that's important for him to be looking for. You know, and it's not just him. Like, you know, if Marco Rossi is there, or if, you know, Lucas Raymond are there, those are the two other guys that I would really consider those five as kind of my top three.
Yep.
But, you know, where I am now, too, is as someone who follows the Sabres, you know, it's just pick any forward, honestly. Like, I'm not going to be mad. If it's a forward, fine. I'm not that picky, but those are kind of my three guys.
Right. Yeah, and obviously with a guy like Lundell, the program that he's playing with in Finland is actually a pretty good program where they've had some good talent come through there and develop into pretty darn good players at the NHL level. Anyway, continuing on with your article that's at diebytheblade.com, moving on to the restricted free agents and how the Sabres kind of approach that. You obviously, in your article, you have a number of your key restricted free agents being re-signed. You give them the average annual value for each player. But I'm really interested, obviously, in Sam Reinhart. And obviously, with the way that he has produced over the past couple of years with his new contract, he's up for a new deal. And this year, we could be seeing him getting a long-term contract that he's been looking for. And you have him currently right now at 5 years, $6.9 million. How do you value Sam Reinhart going into this contract negotiations with him?
Yeah, I still think, you know, he's underrated among, you know, a segment of the fan base, right? His game isn't very flashy. I think a lot of the things that he does, you can kind of miss it, you know, and a lot of people talk about, you know, him playing away from Eichel and the production and all that thing, but it's not often talked about kind of what he does for Eichel on the other end of things. You know, Eichel's going to be fine whether Reinhart's there or not. Like, that's, you know, let's put that out there. But still, he helps them defensively. I think Reinhart also is a big part of the transition game to get Eichel started. You know, Reinhart plays a lot of those move, a lot of those exits in the offensive zone, and then he gets it up to Eichel. Eichel goes up the ice. You know, so if you go back and watch some games, what I did when I wrote about Reinhardt recently, and I pulled out a couple of video clips, you see that a lot. He'll do that work along the boards, make that nice pass up to Eichel quick, and boom, Eichel's going up the ice. Where you might not catch that in the game because the goal is scored four or five passes later, but when you go back and look, it started from a play that he made. So he makes a lot of those quick, smart decisions along the boards that aren't flashy. You know, he scores a lot of his goals around the net, which is nice. So he's not a flashy player, and I think that kind of, you know, is a knock against him, I guess you could say, but he still does what he's supposed to do. He's a 60 to 65 on a good season point player, 24 years old. You know, there were no positions to get rid of a forward that gives you that much right now. So I just can't think of any way where you move him and your team is better. It doesn't make sense. You're moving a forward for another forward. We're great, but now you need to go out and get more forwards, and like then it becomes a whole mess for you. So unless it's some sort of one-for-one and you get a really nice young center back for him, just I have no interest in trading him, and just give him the contract around $7 million that he's realistically worth, because that's how much a 60-point player costs in this league, and you know, try to build more players around him.
Chad DeDominis is from Die by the Blade and Expected Buffalo joining us here on the Wester Hotline on WGR. Chad, obviously with the trades that you mocked in your projections, I really like these trades because I think the players that you're targeting to bring into the roster add some really good value to the roster going forward, obviously with Alex Kerfoot from the Toronto Maple Leafs in your mock, and also with Elias Lindholm from Calgary. Just what do those guys bring to the table for the Sabres if they decide, I mean, if they were to happen to trade for these guys, what would they bring to the table for the Sabres going forward?
So Lindholm is interesting because he's, and one of the reasons I targeted him because I thought he would be a good guy to fit with Dylan Cousins, which kind of I tweeted you about yesterday when you were talking about it. So the reason that is because he's not a play-driving winger, but if you look at some of his underlying stuff, he is an extremely, extremely good impact on goal scoring. Maybe one of the better forwards in the league. So you get Cousins who's going to run that transition game, and then you give them a goal-scoring winger like Lindholm, that's awesome. And then the other thing to consider here is Lindholm has an experience of playing center. So if there's any time Cousins is struggling, or if there's a face-off, or if he's having a rough game, and you kind of want to switch responsibilities, you can throw Lindholm over the center, throw Cousins on the wing. It kind of gives you that flexibility within your lineup. So not only all of that, you're going to be picking up a, you know, 60, 70-point winger at only 25, 26 years old. He has a good contract, $4.8 million for the next 4 years. So it makes a lot of sense. And then, you know, I threw Ristolainen out there with the guy going the other way because Calgary's going to lose a couple defensemen to free agency here, and they really need some help on the right side. Thinking about it now, a couple people have told me about it. You remember the Brian Burke story, and that AGM is still there who said, no, you're crazy to trade for Ristolainen, so maybe that realistically would have worked, but maybe you can flip and throw Brandon Montour in that situation, and then you can do it that way. So, you know, you can make it work, but, you know, Lindholm is a player the Sabres themselves under Botto have had their eye on for a while, and I think he would be a really nice grab for them. And then Kerfoot, you know, he's not that flashy, big, 50 to 60-point center that you're kind of maybe looking for. And the reason I went with Kerfoot is because, I mean, I talked about a lot, is if I get Lundell and I have Cousins, well, then all I really need to find is what I call a bridge center, right? I need a center to give me 1 to 2 years that can bridge me to Cousins and then bridge me to Lundell if I have him. So I think Kerfoot could do that. He can play with Skinner when Skinner's had the ability to succeed with centers that are of Kerfoot's ability, kind of that quote-unquote grinder. You know, we saw that with Johan Larson last year, how Skinner succeeded with him in a limited time they had together. So if you do that, and then Kerfoot can give you some defensive responsibilities for the next year or two, and then he can kind of drop down in your lineup as those other two centermen kind of grow with your team. So that was my thought in going to grab him. And then it allows me, also what I did is to not use my 2021 first-round pick. I can kind of keep that in my pocket if I want to use that next season or some other time down the road for another trade that comes available too.
Couple minutes here with Chad DeDominis from Die by the Blade and Expected Buffalo here in the Wester Hotline. How do you think the Sabres are going to approach free agency this year? Because obviously the history with free agency has not looked great for the Sabres. I think their highest scorer in the past several years is Kyle Okposo, and even then the numbers haven't been impressive. So how do you think the Sabres attack free agency this offseason, knowing what's kind of going on with the salary cap and everything else that's kind of in their back pocket, and even with the salary cap space that they're going to have?
Yeah, I think you shouldn't expect them to go big game hunting by any means, right? So I don't think Taylor Hall or Tyler Toffoli are going to be any options, not only for the salary cap aspect of it, but also this is an organization right now that has taken a beating the last 2 months. So this is not looked at to be real a place that a lot of players are going to want to come play at, especially those big marquee players. And if you are going to get those big marquee players to come to your team, you're going to have to overpay them, and they're really not in the cap position to do that with the way the cap is going to be for the next 2 to 3 years. So I think what they're going to want to do is they're going to want to look at some low-key guys. Jesper Foss is somebody I signed in mind. He's a guy I've been kind of hammering on for a while. And, you know, people look at his production, and it's not that much there, but it's beyond that for him. It's what he can do. He can play up and down your lineup. He can give you some secondary scoring. He played with Artemi Panarin almost the entire season with the Rangers, and if you hear Panarin talk about Foss and how impactful he's been on him, you know, that's something you got to take into account, what, you know, what he does defensively and what he does in other areas of the game and his board work and how that could affect and impact other players on the team. And then another guy who I kind of been looking around, Dylan DeMello is a right shot defenseman I'm really interested in. Again, kind of an under-the-radar guy. If you're going to move Montour and Ristolainen, you want to bring another right shot defenseman, Dylan DeMello could make some sense for you. And the guy I signed, John Merrill, you know, he's 28 years old. Left shot defenseman. His defensive impacts are really impressive over the last 2 years for Vegas. So he's a guy you can bring in for a year, maybe two, to kind of let Jacob Bryce and Matthias Danielson and Ryan Johnson and the guys you have on the left side coming, you kind of give them more time to develop instead of kind of rushing them into things, which they have done in the past. So I think you can bring Will Borgen in. He can be your 6-7 defenseman, and then you get a guy on the left side since Pilot's gone, and you know that kind of allows the guys underneath that on the left side to kind of continue to develop and not rush them in.
Well, Chad, I appreciate you taking the time on this Thursday to join me here on the air, and hopefully you enjoy your 4th of July weekend. Stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, thanks, man. You too.
Yeah, absolutely. Chad DeDominis is from Die by the Blade and Expected Buffalo on the Wester Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.